This morning, I would like to talk to you about the topic of worship. Our hymns have been based on the theme of worship, and the songs that we've been singing are to do with worship. So therefore, I would like to take as my title this morning, Wholesale Worship, and what the Bible has to tell us of how we worship God, and how it is that we are to worship God in a right manner. When we use the law of the first mention, which is a hermeneutical principle — that word hermeneutics is just the interpretation of Scripture, how to interpret the Scriptures — if we look at the law of first mention, turn with me back to the book of Genesis in the chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we read there of the first time that worship is mentioned in Scripture. Genesis in the chapter 22, and the verse 5 tells us, Abraham was on his way up to the Mount Moriah. He was asked to sacrifice his one and only son, the one whom he would bless the whole earth through. And here in Genesis 22 and the verse 5, it tells us, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and come again to you. There upon Mount Moriah, I'm sure we each and every one of us all knew the story of what happened. Abraham and Isaac, they journeyed up to Mount Moriah, to the top of Mount Moriah. Isaac was carrying the wood. He was carrying the wood for a burnt offering, and he turned to his father and asked him, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the offering? And Abraham says those marvelous words, My son, the Lord will provide himself an offering. And Abraham, as not to be disobedient unto God, he shows full surrender. He shows full surrender unto God. Isaac was the son that God had promised to bless Abraham through. And through Isaac, he was to be made a great nation. Yet now it seems that the Lord had said to him, Well, I'm going to do away with that promise. I'm going to do away with that covenant that I've made with you. But no, the Lord, and I'm sure we each and every one of us know the story, the Lord provides the ram that day. As they were worshipping atop Mount Moriah, as he was about to offer up his only son, the ram was provided in the stead of Isaac. But this shows us the heart that Abraham had. The heart of Abraham was fully surrendered, was fully ready to give full worship unto the Lord God. He was ready to surrender his only son so that he might worship God, so that he might give him the glory due unto his name. Furthermore, if we read in Revelation, in chapter 8 and 9, we read there of who it is we are to worship. In Revelation 22, in the verses 8 and 9, it tells us that Paul, as he saw the vision, that Paul, as he was seeing this vision of the heavens, of this new earth that would come to pass, the new heavens and the new earth, it tells us that Paul, in the verse 8, fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. But the angel tells him that he is doing it wrong. He tells him that his worship is wrong. And why is that? Because at the end of verse 9, it tells us the angel said, Worship God. Worship God. God is to be the epicenter of our worship. He is to be the very focus of our worship. And we must always ensure that whatever it is that we are doing in our daily lives, and whatever it is that we would seek to do, that we are doing it in a way that is worshiping God. John 4 and 24 tells us, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is like no other, because God is omniscient, is omnipotent, is the one who has created this world and sustains and holds all things in being by the word of his power, then we must worship him like no other. He is like no other, therefore he is worthy of worship like no other. We must examine ourselves and then ensure that we are ascribing the right worship unto God. And ensure that this worship that we are ascribing unto God is acceptable in his sight. This then leads us to see what is acceptable in our worship. We've seen who it is that we are to worship. We are to worship God. We are to worship him in a right manner. We are to worship him in spirit and in truth. But what then is acceptable? And how can we know that which is acceptable when we come to worship God? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, it tells us that we are to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And where do we prove all things and hold fast that which is good? But in the Scriptures of truth, the divine Word of God. That is where we find how it is that we are to worship. God's inspired Word will prove all things.
It will tell us exactly how it is that we are to worship God. The Puritan George Swinnick, he said, "Godliness is a worship." And godliness was arguably no better seen than in the patriarch David, in the life of King David. We see that David was a man after God's own heart. He was one who loved the Lord, who sought to serve the Lord. One of the most holy kings, the best king that Israel had throughout the golden age of Israel's history. David was chosen, and David was a man after God's own heart. That brings us then to consider what we have read this morning in 1 Chronicles and the chapter 16. Here within this chapter, David has just brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He has brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, and now he has set up a tent around it. He has set up a tent to establish worship unto the Lord God. The tabernacle was a sign of God's presence, a sign of God being among the Israelites. And now David was seeking to ascribe worship unto God. He was seeking to sing a song unto the Lord. And in this chapter, he is sharing his praise with the rest of the people that were gathered. So I want to go through these verses this morning. I want to go through these verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And I want us to see how it is that we are to worship God, not just in our praise and in our lip service, but how it is that we are to worship God in every single aspect of our lives. Our whole lives are to be devoted unto God. And therefore, we are to worship God in the beauty of holiness. So as we have said, our title for this morning will be Wholesale Worship. And first off, I would like you to see that we worship God through praise. Through praise. In the verse number 23 here in chapter 16, we read, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Sing unto the Lord. It couldn't be more simple than that. Sing unto the Lord. We are told in the Psalms that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's easier from some than others. I know that I'm not the best singer about, but it's easier for some to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But we are all instructed to be happy in worship, to be joyful when it comes to worshiping our God. When we think of what the Lord has done for us, when we think of what Christ has accomplished for us, if we believe in him this morning, does that not make your heart rejoice? Does it not make your heart want to sing the praises of the Lord our God? Those hymns, those glorious hymns that we sing, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." It's hard to sing that without a smile on your face because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. David, as we all know, was a psalmist. David was one who wrote many of the Psalms, and he was believed to have written 76 of the Psalms, or just over 76 of the Psalms. And they deal with many different themes. They deal with themes from love to destruction to deliverance and praise, etc., etc. The list goes on. It's quite exhaustive. And many of these hymns, many of these Psalms that David wrote were ascribing worship unto God and singing praises unto him. We think of Psalm 95 and Psalm 145. These great Psalms of David, and they are used to ascribe worship unto God. They are used as songs, as hymns of praise unto God. We are called to sing unto the Lord in this chapter. In this verse, number 23, it tells us, "Sing unto the Lord." And the Bible has countless references, both in the Old and in the New Testament, of people who sang to the Lord, who ascribed praise and worship unto God through singing. One verse in Ephesians 5 and 19, it tells us, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." This is because singing brings glory to God. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Therefore, let us sing unto the Lord. We have sang this morning. We have worshipped our Lord this morning in the singing of hymns. And we must ensure that we are singing his praises with a heart full of praise and adoration for him. Not out of a begrudging spirit. Not out of I suppose I better sing up these hymns once again. But we are to sing unto the Lord for all that he has done for us. As our psalm says, or as this chapter has said, "Sing unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." God's great mercy is the reason that we can sing unto him. We must trust in him. We must sing unto him. If we think of examples of ones who sang in Scripture, ones who sang unto the Lord in Scripture, we think of Paul and Silas when they had been arrested in Philippi. Paul and Silas, they had been arrested. They had been accused of things. They had been beaten. They had been lashed. They had been mocked and scorned by the people. Yet what do we see that as they were chained up in prison, as their feet were bound in fetters, what do we see? We don't see them moaning and complaining. We don't see them having a begrudging spirit unto the Lord. No, we see them singing unto the Lord. We see them singing the praises of their God, even in difficult circumstances and situations. We are called to sing unto the Lord, not only in the good times in life, but also in the bad times of life, in the storms of life, in the afflictions that we each and every one of us face. We are called to sing unto the Lord. We also better get used to singing the praises of the Lord here on earth, as when we get to heaven, Revelation 5 and 9 tells us that we will sing a new song in heaven, and we are going to praise God forevermore. But we see that there's a right way to worship God in singing. We are to sing His praises. The Bible does tell us a specific instance of when singing and praise was shown to be wrong. Exodus 32, if you will turn with me, just very briefly, over to Exodus and the chapter 32. Here in this chapter, we see Moses and Joshua. They were coming down from Mount Moriah, or from Mount Sinai even. Moses and Joshua are far off from the camp of the children of Israel. In Exodus 32 and the verse 12, we'll read from there. Exodus 32 and the verse 12. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give you in your seed. I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he sought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. As Moses and Joshua were coming down Mount Moriah, Moses has just interceded for the people of Israel. He has interceded for their transgressions. And now we see that they are coming down Mount Moriah, or Mount Sinai. They are coming down from Mount Sinai. Moses has the two tables of the law in his hand. And Joshua turns to him and says, do you hear that? Do you hear the sound of war? That sound of war, the banging of the drums, the loud, loud noises that they would have heard. It sounded like war was in the camp. It sounded like war had come to the camp. But yet, Moses is able to discern the fact that it was not those who had been overcome, and it was not those who were shouting unto a master, but it was those who were singing. Those who were singing praise and worship unto something that which they never should have done. They were praising and praying unto the calf that they had built. They had built this golden calf because Moses had left them, and they sought for an idol to worship. They sought for something to worship after themselves. But yet we see that their worship and their song was as the noise of war. It was as the noise of war. And let me tell you, the world will mask up the praise and the adoration of the Lord God in their singing, but it will be as the noise of war. It will be just a din. It will not be ascribing true worship and true praise unto God, but it will be the noise of war. And I trust and pray that every time that we come to worship God, it could not be said of us, as people are listening in from afar, as people are hearing us from a distance, that they would be saying, that sounds like the noise of war. It sounds just like a mess, like a loud mess. No, I pray that our praise and our singing unto God will be that which is right in the sight of God, that which is true in the sight of God, giving true worship in singing. So we've seen it in praise through singing, but also praise and adoration. Singing is not the only way that we can worship God through our praise. Normally when we think of praise, we are automatically drawn to think of the singing that we ascribe unto God. But we are also called to adore the Lord our God. David here, in the verse number 25, we see the adoration of David. In verse number 25, it says here, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Luke chapter 7, it gives us a beautiful picture of true adoration and worship for God. There we see in Luke chapter 7, a woman who came to Jesus, and fell down at his feet. She washed his feet with her tears, and she then wiped them dry with her hair. And then she broke and anointed his feet with that sweet scent from the alabaster box. The worship that this woman showed the Lord Jesus Christ was that of adoration, and it was a lesson unto the disciples. It was a lesson of adoration unto the disciples. The disciples that day were rebuked. They were told, this is how you are to worship God. You are to have adoration for God. Another word that we can use for adoration is love. Love is a common word. Love is something that each and every one of us are striving for in this life. And it would be remiss of me this morning to preach and to not speak of the great love of Christ, that great adoration of Christ. The greatest love that we can talk of this morning is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinful men. We think of those beautiful words that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in our sinful state, the very Son of God gave his life for us. I want to take you to Gethsemane and see, let you see that Christ praying to the Father in Luke chapter 22, he's prayed, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Christ in love submitted himself to the Father's will to redeem us, to buy us back unto God. Here we see Christ submitting himself to the humiliation and to the death of the cross. And does that not tell us of the deep, deep love of Christ? And if Christ had such a deep love for us, then what is our adoration unto him? Is it the right adoration? Are we praising the Lord God in both our singing and in our adoration unto him this morning? Are you adoring the Lord God this morning? Is your heart thrilled when you think of Christ and when you think of what he has done for you? Or is it just lackadaisical? I trust and pray that each and every one of us will praise the Lord God with a heart full of joy and adoration unto God and sing his praises because of what he has done for us, because he has redeemed us unto God through his blood. I trust and pray that each and every one of us will praise God for what he has done this morning. So we've seen firstly that we worship God through praise. Secondly, I would like you to see that we worship God through preaching also. At the end of verse 23 and in verse 24, we read there, "Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations." And we can preach in many ways. Firstly, we can preach through our conduct. We can preach through our conduct. Many people have said, live your life as an open book, so that those that would read you would read the Savior. They would see Christ. The word Christian, it is the two separate words, Christ and Ian, that last wee part. And what that little word Ian means is little. So the whole word of Christian means to be a little Christ. I want to challenge you this morning. Are you being a little Christ? When people look at you in your conduct, in the way that you act in this world, are you being a little Christ? Are you a follower of Christ, and does that show forth in your conduct? In Philippians 1 and 27, we read, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that word conversation in that chapter, that word conversation in that very verse, it means to behave as a citizen. And therefore, we can understand it in the sense that not only let your conversation, that which you speak, be as it becometh of the gospel of Christ, but let your conduct be as it becometh of the gospel of Christ. When we act right every day and conduct ourselves in a right manner day by day, it is pleasing unto the Lord. We need that daily sanctification to be able to live a life that is holy. And what do we mean by sanctification? We need to be continually asking the Lord to wash our sins in the precious blood of the Lamb. We need to be continually seeking for that fresh cleansing. Yes, we have been pardoned. We have been justified, declared right in the sight of God. yet we still sin day and daily against our God. Therefore, we must pray for that sanctifying work of the Spirit. 2 youth weekends ago, well, more than that now, it would be maybe 3 or 4 youth weekends ago, we were away and heading down, and we stopped off at McDonald's, as we like to do in Ballymoney, or sort of middens down there, and we like to stop off in Ballymoney down on the way, or and stop off at McDonald's on the way. And a man, he came over to our youth leader at the time, and he said to us, he wondered, are you a group of young people, are you a group of Christians from a church? And this man had no affiliation with our church. He did not know any of us, really. We were away on down the country, so he wouldn't have known even our youth leader or any of us around. But it was in the way that we conducted ourselves and in the way that we acted, it showed forth that we were like Christ. Now, I'm not saying that to the praise of Ballymoney Youth. Ballymoney Youth has many problems. We all have many problems that we face. But I'm saying that in the sense that our conduct must be as it becomes of Christ. And are you being, as that word Christian declares, a little Christ? And as it was said of the Apostle Paul, are you being a burning and a shining light for Christ? Do you have that burning flame within your heart? And are you shining forth for Christ this morning? That's why John exhorts us in 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. We are to walk as Christ walked in this world. And how did Christ walk in this world? He walked in a right manner. He walked in a sinless manner. We should strive to be without sin in our lives. Yes, it will not happen. We will not be perfectly sinless in this life, but we should strive to have sinless perfection in this life. We should strive after godliness. We should strive to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that should show forth in our conduct. Not only in our conduct and how we act, but then also in spreading the gospel. In spreading the gospel, it's something that each and every one of us can do. We can't all do it from a pulpit, and we can't all do it from the open air stand. And I know that I'm not that great at doing it either, but we try, we make an effort anyway. But we are to spread the gospel of Christ. In verse 24, here in our chapter, we read, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. We are to declare forth, and we have been commanded of God to spread the gospel. Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And Mark 16 and 15, those words which each and every one of us I'm sure know, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to spread the gospel. And in through spreading the gospel, through spreading the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are ascribing worship unto God. We are praising the Lord God in our preaching. In a way, it's a way that we can worship God through sharing the gospel of Christ to those that will hear it. These marvelous works which David spoke of in this verse, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Well, whose marvelous works is that? We share and we spread the marvelous works of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what he has done for us on Calvary. We share the message of salvation. We preach the message of salvation. As that glorious hymn says, Jesus saves. We spread that message. We tell people that though their sins may be scarlet, they can be white as wool. Isaiah 55 and the verse 11, a verse that I'm sure each and every one of us know. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Lord God is building his church, and he is building it through the foolishness of preaching, as he has said in his word. But are you doing anything to spread the gospel? Are you spreading the gospel in your place of employment? In your place of education, are you spreading the gospel? Now, I'm not telling you that you have to bring out a little mini lectern, set it all up, get the wee speaker system ready, and then blast out what it is that you have to say. But as we look at the book of Acts, we see there in Acts how the Christians, it wasn't that they were preaching the word in the sense of they were having meetings and they were having open airs. Yes, the apostles were doing that, but the Christians at that time, the word there for spreading the gospel, for telling the gospel, was that they were gossiping the gospel. They were going around telling people, did you hear of that man Christ? Did you hear of what he has done on this earth? Did you hear of how he has forgiven us of our sins if we will only accept his pardon? They were gossiping the gospel. And are we spreading the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 21, it tells us in there, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and therefore we should strive every day to be telling others. As that wee chorus that we love to sing in children's meeting says, telling others, my life's work is telling others. Is that your life's work this morning? Are you spreading the gospel of Christ to your friends, to your family, those who are outside of Christ? Are you endeavoring to share the message of Christ this morning? I pray and I trust that we will be preaching the word, not only in our conduct, but also in the spreading of the gospel. So we have seen that we worship God through praise. We have seen that we worship God through preaching. But lastly, I would like you to see that we worship God through prayer. In verse 34 here in our chapter, we read here, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We are always to be mindful of what Christ has done for us. And we are to pray with thankfulness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, this verse tells us, for his mercy endureth forever. When we pray to God, we are not only giving God our petitions, those things that we desire in our hearts, but we are also talking to God. We are also thanking him for what he has done for us. There are many people that when they come to prayer, they take that little acronym of ACTS. Now, I don't mean an axe as you go out and chop the tree down, but ACTS as in A-C-T-S, the acts of prayer. And that is A, adoration. We come before the Lord God and we adore the Lord God. The one whom in Genesis it says, he made the stars also. Just a wee throwaway line. We think of the billions and billions of stars that are in this galaxy. We think of the trillions of stars that are in other galaxies. And it tells us there in Genesis, the Lord God just made them. It was nothing to God. Therefore, we come to the Creator God in adoration. And that is ascribing worship unto him. That's the A of prayer. Then C, we come with confession. Confession of our sins. As we said, we are not sinlessly perfect in this life, and we never shall be. Therefore, we must confess our sins day and daily and be washed daily in that sanctifying blood of the Lamb. That's the A, C. And then the T is thankfulness. Thankfulness. We give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. We thank God for everything that he has done for us. And then the S is the supplication. We make our prayers unto God. We then ascribe what it is that we are seeking from the Lord God, whether it is salvation, whether it is the renewing of our own hearts, whether it is our praying for our land. We then have supplication unto God. But we pray with thankfulness. And in Psalm 30, in verse 12, it says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and be not silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." The psalmist David sought to give thanks unto the Lord forever. And we are to always be thankful of what Christ has done for us. We are to thank Christ for our salvation, for our right standing now before the Lord God in heaven. We are also to praise him for the wonderful gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to thank him for the provisions that he makes, the clothes upon our back, the food that we eat, the house that is over our heads. We seek to praise God through prayer and thankfulness. And in verse 35, it tells us, "O God of our salvation." Salvation is a gift of the Lord, and it is a most glorious gift that we, each and every one of us, have received if we have trusted in Christ as Savior this morning. We give thanks, O God of our salvation. We give thanks unto the Lord for his great salvation. We must ever be thankful of what Christ has done for us, us who deserved the very least of his blessings. We give thanks unto the Lord in our prayer. Also in daily communion with God. We are to commune daily with God. Enoch said was a man who walked with God, and that word walked with God, those words walked with God, they indicate that it was a daily, day by day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not just a one-off, but it was a daily striving to be in daily communion with him. In Joshua 1, the verse 8, it gives us a good picture of that. It tells us there, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And if we study this book, if we glean from its precious pages all of its glorious and its precious truths, then we will be blessed. We will be blessed of the Lord. And when we open our hearts to understanding and wisdom, He will bless us. He will give us the wisdom that we desire. He will give us the desires of our heart. And David said in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, about the man of God, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. God's word should be in our hearts daily. We should be in God's word daily. And therefore, do we have daily communion with God, both in reading the scriptures, hearing from the Lord God himself, and through prayer, speaking to God, asking him of his petitions. I pray that each and every one of us will ascribe the right worship unto God, will worship him in the beauty of holiness, as verse number 29 tells us. Be ye holy as I am holy, the Lord has commanded us. Therefore, I urge you this morning, worship God not only in your singing, not only with your mouth, but let us worship God in every aspect, in every facet of our being this morning. Let us worship God. Let us worship God in a right way, through praise, through preaching, and through prayer. In our whole lives, let it be taken up with the worship of the one whom our souls does love. I trust and pray that each and every one of us will worship God in a right manner this morning. Let us pray.